So I place myself in his good hands, knowing that he does everything good. And if I just try, I mess it up. Believe me, I've tried. And you know what? I've messed it up. So I was, some people call me a word man, you know. And it's because I really believe what this book says. Anything I want to know, I find it here. Amen. Anything I want to know, I find it here. There's nothing that I need that God won't talk to me about it through his word. So I said, Lord, give me a verse of scripture or a passage of scripture. And I waited. You see, we can't be in a hurry, because God is not in a hurry. And so he took me the other way around. He talked to me about this, he talked to me about that. And once I had got the vision, he says, okay, you asked for a verse of scripture, I'll give it to you. And the verse of scripture that he gave me was Psalms 116 and verse 12, where the word of God goes on there to say, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? You know, I thought about that. I mean, what can you give someone who has it all? Who knows it all? Who can do it all? What? And then it came to me. I can give him my heart. See, because it's all about the heart. And it's all about the heart because the heart is Jesus in you. The heart is the anointing of God that comes upon your life. That which lifts the burden and breaks the yoke. Oh. You know, he does for us what we can't do for ourselves. And that's because he doesn't want to enable us. He wants us to go out there and try. See, if we don't try, we're not going to go anywhere. If we don't believe, we're not going to get anything. So we need to tune into the voice of God. You know, God is always speaking. Problem is, we're not always listening. So I ask, what is the Spirit of God saying to you today? What is he telling you about your spiritual development, your family, your finances? If you're facing trouble, what word of victory has he spoken to you? You know, as a born-again child of God, the majority of believers don't know. I can tell just by listening to them talk. For they will say things like, oh my goodness, I'm in a crisis and I don't know what to do. You know, I've heard people say, I've tried it all. I guess I'm going to pray. But why didn't you pray to begin with? I mean, what a concept. Prayer first. You know? What a concept. But I'm here to tell you that if you're in that situation, I've got to be straight with you. You better go to God and find out what it is that you need to do. You'd better be quiet. Quiet long enough to hear what he has to say and to pay attention to it. You'd better get rid of that fear and start believing God. Otherwise, the devil is going to get the best of you. Amen. No amen. You don't want the devil to get the best of you. No. Say no amen.
No amen.
In other words, we're taking that back. We're going to take that back. We want the best of God.
Yes.
Not the best of... Well, I'm not even going to mention his name.
No.
See, if you read the Bible, you'll see that God has been trying, I mean, really, really trying to get his people to understand that for thousands and thousands of years. The fact is that he gave those exact instructions to an Old Testament king by the name of Ahaz. You see, Ahaz was back there in the days of the prophet Isaiah. And Ahaz was in serious trouble. Two enemy armies were coming against him, and he just did not have any idea of what to do. So God, always there ready for us to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. You see, God sent his word to Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah and gave him a whole new perspective. You see, instead of agreeing with Ahaz about how powerful his enemies were, God let him know that those enemies did not impress him whatsoever. Not the single little bit. He didn't care about them. He referred to them, according to the Amplified Bible in Isaiah 7 and verse 4, as two smoking stumps. Wow. See, then he assured Ahaz their plan against him would not stand if, see, if is a very powerful word, if he would simply obey the following instructions. In Isaiah 7 and verse 4, he told him, take heed. Then he said, be quiet. See, sometimes we talk to God, but we forget that he has to talk back to us. You know, we hang up before he says anything. You gotta shut up. See? Then he says, fear not. You know, if God be with us, who can stand against us anyway?
Amen.
And then in verse 9, he says, believe. Believe. You know, I was, you know what I knew? I was in the right place when I came, first came here. I came here, I sat here where Lydia's sitting. And I looked towards the cross and I saw right on the right hand side of the cross, as I'm looking at it now, I saw a banner, and that banner said, believe. And I said, whoa, what a concept. I must be in the right place. Later on, you know, I asked, what happened to the banner that was up there? He said, what banner? The one that says believe. He says, there's never been a banner up there. See, if you want to know if you're in the right place, God will let you know. You see, I knew I was in the right place. All I had to do was believe. You know, sometimes it's hard when you've always been the man, you know, Johnny on the spot and all this kind of good stuff, you know, to slow down and to let somebody get the spotlight. But you know, in Christ, there are no superstars. And this is not Hollywood. Jesus is Lord. This is Jesus' house. This is Father's house. When I think about this church, as I think about the many different lighthouses in the city, I say Beth Simca. Houses of joy. That's what they are. Houses of joy. Houses of joy. You see, if you want to tune into the voice of God, the first thing you must do is you must check your receiver. See, before you head down the road looking for a prophet like Isaiah to tell you what God is saying to you, I want to save you a trick. See, you don't need a prophet to tell you what to do. And that's because you have a better covenant than it has. You have a much better covenant. See, you're not just a servant of God like the people in the Old Testament. Through the blood of Jesus, you've become a full-fledged son and daughter. See, the Bible says, see, not Frank, but the Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons. And I add daughters because you see, we're all just one big happy family of God. See, Jesus confirmed that in John chapter 10, in verse 3 and 4. See, when he said, his sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. That means he knows you. And when he calls out to you, he calls you by name. He calls me by name. You know? And I know that it's God that's speaking to me. I know that he wants to get my full attention. Sometimes he has to let me know about it. You know, because I'm not always there. But once he has my attention, I know he's going somewhere. And all I need to do is follow. You see, John 3:8 says, the wind blows. No one knows where it's coming. No one knows where it's going. As such are those that are guided by the Spirit. He says, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. See, I mean, we know when Dad's talking to us. And immediately we straighten up. You know, when my kids were growing up, they'd be messing up. And thus I will be telling them, do this, do that, do the other. Man, as soon as they heard that car pulling up, they were scattering. They were moving because they knew Mama was going to tell me. And I'm a disciple. I would let them have it. Sometimes I would speak to them, you know, but I would let them have it. And I would tell them this. This is going to hurt me more than it does you. They didn't believe that. But then I would hug them and love on them. See, as a child of Almighty God, you have the right and the spiritual ability to hear the voice of God for yourself. You don't need anybody else. You don't want anybody else. You want Him. See, but you might say, but Brother Frank, God never speaks to me. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, He does. He surely does. It's simply that you're not listening. You know, we're just not there. You know, have you ever turned on your television set and found that something was wrong with the picture? Maybe it was fuzzy or the sound was crackling and there was static. Or maybe you couldn't get a picture at all. So I asked, did you grab the telephone and call NBC, ABC, or the Sci-Fi Channel and tell them, something is wrong with your transmitter? Certainly not. In fact, you didn't even think about that. Because there was no reason for it. You know they were there. See? So if you want to hear God's voice, You need to tune in. You need to find His frequency. See, don't you think we ought to have at least as much faith in God as we have on the television networks? You see, they can break down. They can fail us, but God will never fail us. And God will never fail us because He has given us His Word. He has promised to lead us by His Spirit and enable us to know His voice. So, if you're having difficulty with those things, you need to stop. You need to stop blaming God and determine, where is it that I'm missing it? See, if I'm missing something, it's not God, it's me. I got to do something about me. See, I have to take care of me, myself, and I. Because God is always willing to do what's right for me. But if I don't let Him, He's going to say, okay, you want it that way? Go for it. Go for it. You see? Actually, that's not hard to do. When we have trouble hearing God's voice, it's almost because of one of four reasons. First, number one is we don't believe that He's speaking. Two, we're simply not paying attention. Three, we're allowing some kind of interference to drown out His voice. Four, we just don't know what frequency He's on. Yeah, we just don't know. So all we get is God will static. We can't hear. So let's focus on that last point. Exactly how do you locate the frequency that God is using to speak to you? And I'll tell you right off the bat, you will not be able to do it using those fleshy paddles on the sides of your head. You just can't do it that way. You see? Your natural ears, they were just not made for that. See, some people try to hear God that way. They think that if He would just speak audibly to them, everything would be solved. Sadly, they're mistaken. Our natural ears, like as I said earlier, were not designed to hear God's voice. We were created to hear Him in our inner man, or what the New Testament calls in 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, the hidden man of the heart. Or as the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 3, verse 7 and verse 8. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if ye hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You know, sometimes we hold back. Oh, that could not be God. He knows I need that money. He knows I will not go there. You see, he knows that. But He wants to prosper you. He wants to increase you. He wants to do something for you. But you need to let go. You know, when I came to Shelton, Donald Bryan, senior bishop of the Open Bible, said, Frank, we can't send you. We can't pay you. And I thought about that for about 30 seconds. I said, what has money got to do with it? What has money got to do with it? Nothing. I ate yesterday. I've ate today. I know I'm going to eat tomorrow. God did for me yesterday. He's doing for me today. Will he not do for me tomorrow?
Yes, he will.
So I came. You're going to die out there. Well, I was a 32. I'm a 42 now. I've grown. You see what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? See, God leads his children not by outward voices or signs and wonders. He leads us by the inward witness of the hidden man of the heart. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, God speaks out and he says, who knows the heart of man, evil and perverse as it is? Then in verse 10, he qualifies that. To make sure that you know who's speaking, the Lord, who searches the mind and knows the heart and rewards accordingly. You see, God knows us better than we know ourselves. We see our faces, but we don't know our hearts. But God knows us. In fact, Scripture says he knew us before we were even born. And that's all of us. He knew us before we were even born. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that scripturally speaking, your head is your soul, which is comprised of your mind, your will, your emotions. Your heart is your spirit, which is the core of your being that has been born again. See, a new creation. You've been born again and joined to the Spirit of God. See, we're no longer walking alone. God walks with us. We are never alone. He goes before us. And to make sure we're all covered, Scripture says he's our rear guard. See, nothing can come against us. Nothing can harm us. If we trust, if we believe, if we expect to see what we're reading and trust God for what he has said. And has he said? Boy, he said a lot. He said a lot. All we have to do now is claim those promises, because they're already ours. But if you don't claim them, you may miss out. You just may miss out. Granted, discerning the difference between the voice of your soul and the voice of your spirit, it can be challenging. It takes spiritual wisdom to do it. But you know what? The Bible tells us clearly how to develop that wisdom. We do it by spending time in the written word of God. Hebrews 4:12, Scripture there goes on to say, the word is quick and powerful. In another version of Scripture says, the word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And then it finishes off by saying, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Don't look down here. The heart. Sometimes it's a muscle. This is the heart. It's all there. For us. You see, it contains the voice of God in its most tangible form. God always agrees with His written word. Always. And His word always agrees with Him. The fact is that in Psalms 138 and in verse 2, Scripture goes on there to say, He has magnified His word even above His name. Do you know what that means? That means that God has put His name on His written word in the same manner that we would put our name at the bottom of a contract. He has given us His word as a covenant and signed it in the name of Jesus by the blood of Jesus. Can you say Jesus?
Jesus.
Oh, isn't He good?
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is here. And what is He giving us? He's given us His healing word. See, since God cannot lie, there is no way He will do or say anything contrary to that word. He has absolutely joined Himself to it forever. So, the first place God takes us to train us to recognize His voice is to His written word. He uses it to tune our spiritual ears to the real so that we can easily recognize the counterfeit. Have you ever watched an impersonator mimic a celebrity? You know, if he's good at what he does, you'll think, I know that guy that he's impersonating. It's so-and-so. He sounds just like him. But, see, there's always a but. I'm telling you, there is always a but. But if you were to put the real personality right next to the impersonator, the difference would be glaring. If you could see them both at the same time, you'd think, man, that guy doesn't even sound like him. So you recognize the counterfeit immediately. And that's the way the written word of God is. You better know it. The more you hear God's voice speaking to you through the word, the easier it is for you to tell the difference between His voice and any other voice that's trying to speak into you. The easier it is for you to divide your soul from your spirit and discern the difference between the voice of your head and the voice of your heart. When you're trained to hear God's voice in His word, the devil will not be able to sneak deceptions into you. When he tries to razzle dazzle you with some righteous sounding voice that says, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. But it's just not my will to heal you at this time. You won't buy it. You won't buy it because you'll rise up and you'll say, that's not the voice of God. And you'll say, that's not the voice of God, because His word says, by His stripes ye were healed. Amen. See, you're not going to accept anything that's being said. But you need to know the word.
Right.
You know, sometimes we say a lot of things that don't make sense. You know? But you know, God is so good, He probably makes you hear the right stuff. I remember hearing myself years ago, you know, in a tape. I said, man, did I say that? Whew. I was somewhere out there in never land. But you know what? I remember that service. Oh, pastor, what a great message. What a great word. I said, whoa. The first time I heard myself, I got my kids together. You know, I had them sit down. Now, I was in Puerto Rico at the time. I said, man, I found a tape. And you got to listen to this guy. Man, this guy is so right on. I mean, this guy is the real McCoy. It's the real thing. He knows what he's speaking about. And I put the tape on. And my kids are sitting down. And they start to laugh. And I got upset. Listen. The more they listen, the more they laugh. So I shut it off. I said, okay. What's up? She said, Dad, it's you. It's you. See, I never had heard myself before. And it sure didn't sound like me, but it sure sounded good, though. It sounded really good. You remember that, honey? It was something awesome. I was so excited. It was really, really good. Really, really good. You know, God showed me that day. He does it. I don't do it at all. He has us, you know, say what He would say and do what He would do. See? So what am I saying? I'm saying that you won't get that kind of training just casually reading the Bible now and then. You won't get it by knowing generally what it says or by mixing what it says with your own opinions. If you desire to truly learn the voice of God in the Word of God, you'll have to do it. You'll have to do it what God told Ahaz to do. You'll have to take heed. You'll have to pay attention. You'll have to zero in. You see, if you want to hear the Word of God, you need to, you know, tune in, find His frequency, discern what is being said or spoken or read, and zero in. See, paying attention. Paying attention is more than just mentally assenting to a scripture and saying, oh yes, hallelujah, praise God, amen. Paying attention means to lock in. To lock in on what's being said and make a firm decision that from now on you will see this matter the way God sees it instead of the way you've always looked at it. Mm. I mean, God is dealing with us right now. See, to do that, you'll have to do the second thing that God told Ahaz to do. You'll have to be quiet. You'll have to shut up all mental jabbering you've been doing. You'll have to stop thinking about your own opinions and listen. I mean, really listen to what the Word says. Do you realize that it is possible to read great quantities of Scripture and never really hear what God is saying in it? If you've known me for a while, you've heard me say, I could read a verse 10, 20, 30 times and not move on until I get everything that I can get out of that verse. Or I could read a passage over and over and over and over and over. because I'm just not getting it. And if I'm not getting it, I'm not going to move forward because I'm not going to miss out. You see, I'm greedy. I want more. And I can have more if what I want more is of Jesus. If I want to do His will. I mean, I just have to hold on. You hear that song? Hold on. He's coming. Yeah, He's coming. And I want to miss out. I mean, could you imagine? He comes and I'm a second late. Oh, what happened? So I do the next best thing. Church is not here. It's probably at the corner preaching. Go to the corner, there's no church. Go to the next corner, there's no church. Go to the next corner, there's no church. Ah! EBGB set in. The church is gone! And I'm here! 1 second. Oh no. I don't want that. I want my piece of the pie. I want to get on that first bus. You see, I don't want to take Route 3 when I want to go to Olympia. I have to take Route 6. I want to get to where I want to go. And I don't want to miss. You see, it's not only possible, but people do that all the time. Here's what happened. You'll be reading a verse or two, and something will trigger another train of thought, and you'll start thinking about what Billy Bob said, or what Jane so-and-so said, or you'll think about how Grandma you used to say it, something about that particular verse, and all the while you're reading the Bible, but your mind is going somewhere else. I don't know about you, but that happens to me a lot too. You know, but I catch myself. I've learned to catch myself. You know? And what happens is we end up with only a vague idea of what we read because we were not really paying attention to the Word. We were paying attention to our own thoughts. Reading the Word of God is something like shooting a scattershot at a flock of birds. You know what happens? You hit nothing. You've hit nothing, you know? To hear the voice of God through His Word, you have to take aim and you have to zero in on every word as you read it. As you read it. You know, we're in the book of Revelations. Pastor's been talking about Revelations, and we're almost to chapter 17 somewhere along there, and Babylon is coming up on the scene, you know, but that's not really Babylon because it's just giving us a thought, you know. And what does Babylon come from anyway? It comes from the Hebrew Babel. Saying nothing. It really doesn't matter. Confusion is what babbling is. Confusion. We don't want to be confused. We want to know that we know that we know that we know. Right? Ooh, I don't know about you, but this is getting to me. Pretty good. I guess I won't be able to finish this here, you know. But maybe I'll get another chance some other time. But let me go on. Instead of just breezing through the Bible and reading it like you read a novel or a history book, you need to read it deliberately. You see? You need to meditate on it by asking yourself, what does this mean to me? How can I apply it to my life, to my walk, to my talk, to my day-to-day activities? How will this change my life? I mean, we need to ask ourselves these things as we walk the walk and talk the talk, because we want to be fruit bearers. You know? We don't want to be some of those sterile things out there, you know. They call them hybrids. We don't want to be there. We want to be fruit bearers. We want to do our part. We want to be all that we can be. So what must we do? We must ask the Lord to reveal specifically what He is saying through the Word to me, to you. We need to read the verse with the attitude that this is God who is speaking to me, and I'm going to do what He's asking me to do. We need to make a quality decision that we're going to act on the Word as quickly as we would if the Word would come to me from my doctor, my lawyer, or a very trusted friend. See, we need to determine in advance that we're not going to bend the Word to fit our lifestyle. On the contrary, we're going to bend our lifestyle to fit the Word.
Amen.
And with that attitude, your spiritual ears will open to hear whatever God has to say. So fear not. You see, if we want to hear the voice of God, we need to tune in.
Yeah.
You know? We need to find the frequency. We need to discern. We need to zero in. And we must not fear any consequence, because there are none. See, if God be for me, nothing's going to stand in the way. You see? That's how come, you know, when we get up in the morning and we physically get dressed, I'm one of those guys that always says, you know, I'm going to put on the armor. You know, I want that belt of truth. I want that breastplate of righteousness. I want my feet to be fitted with the gospel of peace. I want to take the shield of faith. I want to put on the helmet of salvation and take my weapon with me, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And as I go about my day to day, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray so that I don't become prey.
Yeah.
You got me?
Yeah.
I'm going to pray because I'm not going to be prey. I want nobody limiting on me, let me tell you. Ooh. No worm. Mm-mm. Nothing. I want what God has for me.
Yeah.
And I want it all. I really want it all. So, you might say, but Brother Frank, I'm afraid I'll do those things and still won't be able to hear the voice of God. I'm here to tell you, stop being afraid. Fear not. You know, when the angels came before men, what's the first thing that they say? Fear not. You don't have to be scared. You see, when you have that armor, you see, that other guy may be turning the corner. As he turns the corner, he sees you and says, "Ooh!" He goes the other way. I'm telling you, he will go the other way. Because he won't see you. He'll see Jesus. He says, "Oh, I'm in the wrong place now. I'm in the wrong place now. Jesus, why are you here? It's not the time." Is that not what those guys said?
Yes.
Mm. They knew him. You know. Jesus says, "Oh, calm down. I'm not ready for you yet." See? But they won't get to you. They will not get to you. See, what you must do is take a step of faith and believe what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Jesus said that you're His sheep. Jesus said that you hear His voice. So you need to stop doubting Him and calling Him a liar. Don't ever, ever say, I can't hear God's voice. Start agreeing with Jesus. Start believing and agreeing with the Word. Say with me. The Word says, I can hear God's voice. And I believe it. I do hear God's voice. You see, well, you know what you just did? You just took possession of that. Now that is yours. And no one can take it away from you. You can give it up. But no one can take it away from you. And as you take it, you can use it. Not only for your benefit, but for the benefit of those that are around you. You need to realize that you influence people that are all around you. Your mere presence. You know, when I was in the service, I would tell my commander, you know why our company is being successful at all these things? And you know, the guy looked at me and says, what do you mean? I said, I'm telling you. You know why we're having such a good turnout and everything, and we're number one? It's because of me. He said, what do you mean? I said, let me tell you, guy. My God. See, He's my God. My God is so interested that I be successful that He's taking care of all you guys. See, that's not pride. That's just truth. That's not pride. That's just truth. You see, God's going to watch over me.
That's right.
And He's going to do for me, in order to for me to be successful, He's going to take over of all those people around me.
Yeah,
and they're going to say, wow, how did we do that? They didn't do it at all. You see, they didn't do it at all. God did it.
Yeah.
And I add, He did it for me. Can you say that? You know, can you say God did it for me? Yeah. See, God does it for you. Because He wants to increase you. He wants to favor you. He wants those people out there that are out there in Never Never Land, that when they have a situation that they cannot face, they can come to you and you will point them to the way. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. You see? That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus and what He's doing. Remember Philippians 1:6. He who began the good work will continue. I mean, He is continuing to do the work because He loves us. See? 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. 1 John 4:10 says that we did not love God first. He first loved us. You see, God loves us so much that, you know, He wants to brag on us. You ever thought about that? I mean, I brag on my kids all the time. You know, if I don't brag on them, who's going to brag on them? I mean, I got to brag on them anyway. You know why I do that? Because I'm calling the blessing upon their lives. I'm saying things that are not as though they were, that they might be. You know, my great-grandson is about to have a little girl, baby girl. I'm already praying for her husband. She's not even born yet.
Yeah.
See, you got to call the blessing.
Yeah.
You can't wait till the moment comes. You got to activate that moment before. I know I'm kind of fruity, but you know, that's pretty good.
Very good.
Yeah, you know. It really is that way. So, put your faith into action. Open your ears to your heart and start listening to the voice of the Spirit. Especially when you are reading the Word. Pay attention not just to the activity that is in your brain, but to the quickenings of your inner man. Primarily in the area below your chin or your chest. See, it's all about God and how He's dealing with you. You see, in order to make us, He has to break us.
Yes, amen.
I'm telling you, in order to make us, He has to break us of all those. I'm not even going to go there.
All right,
you know what I'm saying, right? He wants to make us. He really wants to make us. If you're not sure where to locate those stirrings, just think back to a time back when we thought, I have a hunch. You ever said, I have a hunch?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you didn't have no hunch. It was God speaking to you, telling you what to do. You want to see a leap of faith? Wait, watch. Did you see it? Did you see it? Stand still and know that He's God. Stand still and know that you're in the presence of the living God. I love that giant leap of faith. You know? Ooh. I mean, I must have gone at least 100 feet.
Yes, sir.
Up there. And you all saw it, so you're the witness. You all saw it, you're the witness. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we need to purpose to become more aware of the promptings that arise from our spirit, because they are the leading of God for our lives. We need to learn to trust them. The Holy Spirit will help you step out a little bit at a time. See, initially, He won't be giving you risky, world-shaking kinds of leadings. You see, when you're first learning to identify with God, when you first start really listening to God's voice, it will mostly be yes and no answers. He'll begin by showing you simple truth from the Word that will help you to act. He'll reveal from the Word examples how you can obey more fully and love others. He'll show you ways to bless people around you. The more you trust His voice and follow His leadings, the more clearly that you'll find you can hear from Him. Before long, hearing from God will not just be an occasional event, but it will be an everyday part of your life. And when someone asks you, as I first asked you, what is the Spirit of God telling you today? You will not hesitate for a moment. You will know exactly what to say. We serve an awesome God. You know, I never got out of the introduction. I was supposed to talk about the establishment of the heart. But that will probably be another time. You see, in the house, We need to let God speak. We're not to be in a hurry. We need to be quiet and listen. Because God is about to do a new thing. Isaiah 43:19 says so. He says in his word that he is about to bring rivers to the desert. We're in a desert place. God is saying, I'm going to bring rivers. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to bring life.
Yes, yes.
God is on his white horse. He's calling out to you. He's calling out to me. What is he saying? Will you ride with me? Will you go with me?